Chelsea. Great start here. Can Dempsey score? Yes! The US ahead! Incredibly! Within seconds!
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Mike.
And we are bringing you the best U.S. men's national team news from this side of the pond. Mike, our resident U.S. men's national team expert, is filling in. Alex is on the road. He is not on the pod today. Mike, how you feeling? We just beat Honduras 4-1 after a nervy first half. I know you were sweating. How you doing tonight?
I was sweating, man. I was sweating for sure, but pumped about the result. Very excited about the result. Would have been very disappointed had we come away with a loss or a draw. So I'm feeling pumped after that result.
I mean, you're a huge fan. You went to Nashville for the Canada match. It was a heartbreaking draw at home. Seems like everything was going wrong into this last match and the first half of this match. And, you know, the players are feeling the pressure, but Berhalter makes the changes. You got to give him credit. What a turnaround. Salvaging this September World Cup qualifying. 5 points, not close to our projections. I mean, you were completely silent when the team was melting down, Mike. I usually hear a lot from you on the U.S. men's national team, but you were silent. What was going through your head? I didn't even hear a word from you. You were just like, I think you're taking it harshly.
A lot of frustration after that first half. It was a lot of anger, a lot of frustration. You know, it's CONCACAF. I felt like we were heading for a unfortunate result. It looked like we were going to lose by more than one, right? Like, if it wasn't for that big save from Turner, we would have been down 2-0. And then, you know, anytime you go down away, it was not looking good. So that's why you weren't hearing from me after the first half. But, you know, he makes essentially like what, 5 or 6 changes. And I think you saw like the depth of our squad kind of rescued us there.
Totally. I mean, going and also starting with the back three, changing to the back four. We have a quote here from Berhalter. Game just wrapped up 10 minutes ago. He says, quote, "I got the formation and starting 11 wrong. Thankfully, I made the changes at halftime and didn't wait like Canada. The players responded right away." From the manager, I mean, we've seen this from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer a little bit at Manchester United. It, you know, he has to make the changes. If it's not going your way, you see Honduras coming at us. We're just absolutely all over the pitch. It was a very sloppy first half, making the changes, and we look like a different squad. We grew into the game. I think Honduras couldn't keep that pace, and all obviously the buzz from all the home fans up the whole game. So it was good to see the United States kind of get back into it and show our skill, because we have it. I mean, we're a much better side than Honduras, but playing away in CONCACAF is no joke.
Yeah, it's no joke, and Pepe came through huge, right? Like, it was awesome to see him get, man of the match, right? I mean, like, what, three assists and a goal. He looked really, really good second half. I actually thought he looked decent first half. He looked good for that type of game, right? Like, he was scrappy in the first half. I thought he did as well as anyone out there for our squad in the first half. So, you know, pumped to see him, do well, and Aaronson get the goal. And, I was elated in the second half.
So the three subs he brought on legit. He brings on Aaronson, who I rate, by the way, and then Robinson. Robinson gets the goal in the 48th minute, like you said, assisted from Pepe. But I mean, that's an impact sub right there. That's turning it around. And when you've watched the United States qualify for the World Cup, there's moments like this. We're on the ropes. You're in Honduras. You're sweating, And then all of a sudden we were able to turn around. I think this is how you build a team. All the noise this week, McKinney, we can talk about that later. There's sort of a cloud over this team. I think this comeback, you know, kind of clears the air a little bit for this squad, gives us some breathing room. And, you know, we have a big set of qualifiers next month in October, but I would say a rough start out of the gate. But to be able to pull this out in the way we did, 4-1, is pretty amazing. And hopefully we'll see a lot of momentum in October from this win.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it'll be interesting seeing going into the next window, right? Like what he does with McKinney, to your point, you know, Bet, and, you know, who's healthy, I think he has to start Robinson, to your point. Like he looked great as well, I think, Anthony. So, you know, we'll see how he goes with it going into the next set of qualifiers. But I think, you know, some guys kind of played their way out of the starting lineup and some guys played their way in with that final game.
Sargent, what do you think? I mean, it can't be good, right? I rate him. He's playing for Norwich. He looks good, but not coming off of the United States up top. And number nine's been the issue. Obviously, Pepe burst on the scene. I'll give you credit, Mike. He was your impact player when we did the preview pod. But I'm feeling for Josh Sargent. I like him as a player, but I just don't think he's a starter, right?
Yeah, sir. I mean, he didn't look great in those three games, right? I mean, he got plenty of looks. He got his, you know, he got his chance, and I was disappointed with how he performed. I mean, that being said, I don't think we provided him with a ton of service. But I don't think he didn't look the part. I think actually the other two nines, Pepe and Sibachu or PFOC, actually looked better than Josh. So he's gonna have to go back to club and perform to get back on the pitch, I think, for Greg.
Absolutely, he's gonna have to perform for the Canaries. Sir, I mean, it's just one of those things where I couldn't be happier. I'm looking at the table, Mike. United States in third place with 5 points. Mexico tops the group with 7. We're tied with Canada and Panama, just split on goal differential for the top 4. Then below us, Costa Rica, Honduras, El Salvador with 2 points. We could have been there. We could have been down in fifth or sixth place, and Jamaica last with 1 point. So, I mean, what... basically a week of qualifying, coming out of the gates, tripping over ourselves, the McKinney nonsense, and then somehow we pull it off in the second half in Honduras, and we're sitting pretty in third place, and like nothing's wrong. I mean, Berhalter, job on the line in the first half, no? I mean, this guy.
Yeah, he's right. Fortunate, super fortunate, right, to be where we're at after those three games. I mean... I think the Canada game, we could have, probably should have gotten a better result. I mean, we held possession for a lot of that game. We just couldn't create much out of possession. So, you know, I don't know how much you can fault him for that match, but away at San Salvador, we knew that was going to be a tough one. I knew that was going to be a tough one. And I wasn't surprised by that result, but I was disappointed by the Canada result. And then through the first half today, like I said, it's like, oh man, this is, not looking good. And if he loses that game, then yeah, there's going to be people out there that are calling for him to be sacked. And I think rightfully so.
No, I mean, this is just one of those things. Where even for the young players, I think what I realized watching these three games is we have a young team. We have a young coach. I mean, he has a 38% win rate with the Columbus Crew. We're one of the top 10 teams FIFA globally. I don't know anyone else going to promote a guy from the MLS with a 38% win rate to be their head coach. But hey, he's ours. He won something this summer, but that doesn't matter. We know that. These are the games that matter. Yeah. So I think the players are learning a lot, like what it's like when the ref calls everything against you. What it's like when you're playing a very hostile environment. I mean, so I think the learning curve is steep for the manager and the players, but getting through this whole like crisis situation, these two away matches And being in third going in October, I think this could be a great sort of start for this team, obviously going on to Qatar in 2022. But you have to say adversity overcome is good for a young team.
Yeah, it's you're in a good spot going into those qualifiers. It definitely, I think they learned a lot. And I guess, like, you know, my real takeaway out of that game was, again, right, like he brought in five or six subs, and I think the five or six guys that he brought on were, you know, a lot better than the three or four guys that Honduras brought on. So it just kind of shows the depth in our squad. So sure, you didn't get it right at the beginning. You switch things up. But you know, the guys you're bringing on are also, you know, 10x, you know, 5-10x better than their opponent, you know, the opposing players. So
I know, absolutely. So how are you feeling third place, 2 points behind Mexico right now? With three played, 11 to go.
I'm feeling good. I mean, we're sitting in a good spot.
We go into Qatar.
We just got it. I think so. Right. I think so. It, you know, I think we learned a lot in these three games. We'll carry that into the next set. I think we learned a lot about rotating guys. I don't know if the next set is two home and one away.
Yeah, it's two home. Two home, Costa Rica. Let me pull it up real quick. We have home against Jamaica and Costa Rica, away at Panama. So I think that's a real good slate. Although Costa Rica, you know, they are a good team. They do spoil it for us unless we're playing them in the snow in Denver.
Yeah, yeah. That obviously played to our advantage that match. But, you know, yeah, I think you could sit here and say you should win at least two of those. Mexico drew Panama. Actually, I think they were down 1-0 earlier tonight, so they could have lost that game. So
They drew.
Yeah, but they were down, I think, 1-0. So, you know, it's not easy to go there either, so... As they showed. So I think you could reasonably say you get two wins, and then you're probably top, you know, you might be top of the table at that point.
I think me and Alex here are going to call 9 points again, right?
I like it.
On the team,
I'm going to conservatively say two wins and then a draw.
But we're going to have you back on the pod, Miguel, to help us break down those matches. I mean, this is just the start of the World Cup qualifying. Before we let you go, I know it is a Wednesday night here, Pacific time. On the McKennie issue, you've been in the locker room with a bunch of players, been a part of a lot of teams. What do you make of this? Shipping him away, our best player, back to Italy. Sounds like, you know, he essentially... violated COVID protocols, brought people, he went out and met people, brought people back to his hotel room. Sounds like he doesn't really care.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, I mean, I played college soccer. I understand the dynamics of, you know, the team dynamics. You definitely don't violate the team rules. So whatever he did, was clearly a violation of team rules. And given the, you know, the magnitude of the game, not only that game, but the game tonight as well. Like, I think it's disappointing that, you know, whatever he did to violate those rules. Now, he is one of our better players, to your point. But, you know, Greg said he left the door open to him. Hard to comment on the full extent of, you know, what he did, just not knowing exactly all the details. Disappointing, but hopefully he'll bring him back in the next cycle and hopefully he can get his act together a bit, because this is the second time he's violated team rules. And
really,
you know, well, he violated protocols in Turin with Juve. So
true. You know, a young man. He's a young man hanging out in Italy with a lot of. He's got the Instagram. Probably got some cash. You know, create a lot of trouble for young men. We've seen that with some Manchester United players. Mason Greenwood in Iceland, for example, violating English team protocols. And he's not been back with England since then. And, you know, it's just a common theme where the young men will make errors like this, violate the protocols, you know. But it's tough to see him go. He's one of our best players, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Did, you know, could he have helped tonight in the first half? Yeah, sure, right?
We needed him.
So, yeah, you know, so it's
I'm like a bench and then bring him on guy. You know, like you bench him because you're like, hey, you shouldn't do that, but you're too good not to include. You know, like I've seen that happen before. You bench and then bring him on. You're like, everything's going horribly. Bring him on at halftime, you know? So I was hoping that he'd get that treatment. But Berhalter went with the strong decision, and a manager going with a decision like that, I can't disagree with, because it ended up working and the team's doing well. And McKennie will come in, and hopefully Berhalter will have some a little more respect from the lads for sort of making this big call, because you know, can't violate those rules. It's a bad example, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, I agree, John, but yeah, hopefully he can get things straightened out and be back in camp and in good form for the next cycle.
So how do you feel about Pepe, your man that you called being the breakout player against Honduras away? Right when we needed it, he was the difference. Are you pumped for him for October?
I'm pumped, yeah. I mean, it was a big win for us to get a dual nat, especially a Mexican dual, you know, Mexican-American dual national. So I'm super pumped that goal he scored is a goal scorer's goal. Like, I mean, right. Gets up Yedlin with the cross, by the way, which was, that was a great
another
ball. Served in. And yeah, another sub, and Pepe gets up. That's a goal scorer's goal. I mean, I think on the first goal, I said he got an assist, but he provided the hold up play for Christian to kind of break through, which was really well done, I thought. And then, you know, the last two assists were kind of, you know, he didn't have that much to do to put the ball in the right place. But, very pumped, especially if he can emerge as a strong nine for us and, you know, get a move over to Europe. I mean, it's exciting. It's exciting. And he's tall, he's fast. He's, like I said, he can score. So. I'm pumped about Pepe.
Yeah, no, I like the next man up, like Berhalter just throwing the kitchen sink on Honduras back to the wall, you know, and you're going to find players when you do that. And Pepe being one of them, absolutely buzzing. There's nothing like United fans come in to watch United States, rough go, and then what a thriller, what a second half comeback. Reminds me of Manchester United. And you know, we're in it, baby. Qatar 2022, we're gonna win the whole thing, right, Mike?
Yeah, what were the odds on that, John? I would take those odds.
I think 100 you win like $10,000. Yeah, exactly. Well, look, Mike, we really appreciate you coming on. You're the American Red Devils U.S. men's national team expert. It's late Pacific time, but we're gonna get you this hot take. And will you be back to break down the next set of World Cup qualifying?
Well, I'll be back. You guys invite me on, I'll be back.
All right.
Thanks for having me, sir.
All right, Mike. Have a good night, and go U.S. Men's National Team.
You too, buddy. All right.
Cheers.
Go USA.
Bye.
All right. Cheers.
Big shout out to Mike for jumping on late with the American Red Devils. It's just me doing the solo bit right now. Alex is away. Thanks to all the American Red Devils fans around the world. We're trying this U.S. men's national team takeover thing for World Cup qualifying. We watch the World Cup qualifying with U.S. men's national team. And if you're not an American, we wish all countries around the world good luck. It is a crazy time around the world during international break when it actually matters. A World Cup only comes every 4 years. And the fact that United States missed out on the last one makes this one like so much more intense. I think that's why the pressure is on the players. You can feel it. It's just very tense. I'm glad we kind of relieved some of that pressure with this big win. I'm excited to see what these lads can do. They just need some breathing room because the CONCACAF is just so unfriendly. The grinded out type of games. It's, some of them are not fun to watch. You know, low scoring, horrible refereeing. That is the MO, but that's what it takes to get to the World Cup. And if you gotta crawl through a mile of shit to do it, it is worth it. Jumping in here real quick for fan questions. Thanks to everyone who tweeted us here at Ty Kircher. Quote, who is the gritty leader in this squad? I don't know, but they really need to find one. Great question, Ty. I'm going to go with the youngsters. Aronson came on at half. He made a difference. Pepe, these guys to me have the grit. You know, they had the grit to find the comeback in the second half. They were involved in everything. You know, I like these young, gritty leaders. I look at Berhalter, doesn't seem gritty to me. A little bit of a spaz. And Pulisic, I don't know if he's the leader type, maybe the quiet leader. He can do it on the pitch, but I think the Pepes, the Aronsons, the young guys coming up, they're going to make the difference. And the last tweet here, at JRDSNW, quote, pro tip, go for a pre-pod jog to get in the zone. Berhalter out, or Berghofer out, like Alex famously coined it. Excited to get back to Manchester United. Thank you, gentlemen, for helping us through this international break. No problem, Jared. We really appreciate you guys for listening and downloading. Like I said, we're trying something new here, pivoting to U.S. men's national team during the international breaks. There are going to be many. And yeah, Manchester United, Newcastle, Ronaldo. I mean, I'm so, couldn't be more excited about Ronaldo playing for Manchester United this Saturday. I'm a huge Ronaldo fan. He's coming back. Me and Alex will be breaking that down tomorrow. We're going to do a podcast tomorrow, breaking down Newcastle proper, getting into everything Manchester United. It has been 2 weeks that we've been off talking about Manchester United. Oh, by the way, Ronaldo's in Carrington. Couldn't be more excited for that. Again, that is the podcast. Thanks for everyone who downloads. We are the American Red Devils. We are for fans, by fans. If you want to support the podcast, check out our Patreon page. You can check it out, www.patreon.com/AmericaRedDevils. Also, check out our website, www.AmericaRedDevils.com. Write a review on iTunes. If you take a screenshot, if it's 5 stars, you email it to us at AmericaRedDevils@gmail.com. Alex will be sending you swag, sticker, shirt, whatever you want. Post the review. It's a great way for fans to find us online. It's the number one way people find us. We are two guys in the garage doing this crazy podcast. And actually, I'm one guy in the garage doing this crazy podcast at 10 p.m. on a Wednesday. But that's World Cup qualifying. That's international break. That is the craziness of everything that is U.S. men's national team. It has been a shit show watching these players, this manager, everything. McKennie this whole week put it behind us. We got 5 points. We're sitting pretty in third on to October. And come on, United. Alex is going to a Liverpool match. It's going to be crazy. We'll be covering everything Manchester United. Champions League's back for Manchester United. So exciting times here at the podcast. Really appreciate everyone who downloads and listens. Let us know what you think of the U.S. Men's National Team takeover. How can we get better at it? We're calling our friends late night. We're trying to do everything down, break everything down we possibly can, as well as do the Manchester United podcast. So let us know how we're doing. You can email us, americaredevils@gmail.com, or tweet us at USA Red Devils on Twitter. I'm going to leave you with the classic, I believe we will win chant for the United States Men's National Team. I don't know if there's anything else that we could leave you with other than this one tonight. 4-1 Honduras. Let's go, U.S. Men's National Team.